Buenas tardes. Well, I'm going to be talking about the Center of Excellence for the Elimination of Disparity for Community and System Change. And this is actually a center that really is trying to address cardiovascular condition and diabetes disparity by building a strong coalition among African American and Latino leaders, healthcare professional, academic institution, and many other coalition. Why is it that we decided to do it that way? It's because there's more similarity than differences when you really look at the health needs and health services need and access among African American and Latino. And for that reason, we truly believe that working with both groups and trying to really make an effort to address their issue is critical. Now, the collaboration is actually my co-principal investigator, Dr. Cynthia Barnett Boyd, who happened to be here. Cynthia, thank you for being here. And Dr. Joseph Harrington, who is not here, he may join us shortly, with the main academic partnership, which is University of Illinois Chicago. I represent the Midwest Latino Health Research Training and Policy Center, and Dr. Barnes Boyd represent the Healthy City Collaborative, also at the University of Illinois Neighborhood Initiative. And Dr. Harrington represent the Chicago Department of Public Health. Together, we've been working with the Reach Action Coalition. I will be talking about a minute about them. And then I wanted to take the opportunity to acknowledge the staff, many of them are here, and the coalition members. And this is a project funded by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention under the REACH 2010. So the purpose is basically to describe the current work that we're doing right now and to be able to talk about what are some of the coalition efforts and plans in addressing cardiovascular and diabetes system inequities, particularly in the area of food access and health literacy and physical activity. Now, in terms of the statement of the problem, I'm not really going to go into detail by providing you data because many of you already know about the data. There is clearly social disparity, particularly among African American and Latino, reflected in low levels of education, low income, high unemployment, poverty. And then the disparity not only in diabetes but cardiovascular, and that is reflected not only in the prevalence rate but also gestational diabetes, also disparity in mortality, diabetes related, as we know. For the country as a whole, diabetes is the sixth cause of death, but for Latinos and African American, it goes up to third, particularly if they are over the age of 55. And complication, and this is particularly true for the African American, related to amputation, kidney, heart disease, and blindness. And the risk factor, we all familiarize about the risk factor. Obesity is a very serious problem on both African American and Latinos. And poor nutrition, lack of physical activity, and they tend to live in an area designated as food desert. And that's one of the reasons why we decide to select food access as one of the area of discussion in terms of addressing social determinants of health. And we know there's disparity in quality of diabetes care. Now, let me just give you a very brief background of the Centers of Excellence for the Elimination of Disparity. This is a kind of a new step of the REACH 2010. The CDC was able to develop in the year 2000 a very innovative intervention or program, I would say, that primarily tried to engage community, mobilize them, and using participatory research model to be able to engage in assessment of needed assets. And as a result of those demonstration projects that lasted 5 years, they came up with another round of funding to be able to establish two types of initiative. One is the Center of Excellence, which is the center that I'm describing, that not only is going to be able to continue some of the work that we did to some degree under the REACH 2010, but enhance that and actually make it our main focus, which is to address policy and system change. And then the other type of initiative for funding is the what is called the Action Community. And so basically, the rationale for those kinds of effort under the Center for Disease Control, Racial and Ethnic Minority for Community Health, what we call REACH, is because traditionally, when you look at health disparity, and you look at diabetes and cardiovascular disparity, disparity, what you find is a lot of people engaging in individual intervention, which is fine, it's very much needed. But very little attention has been given to looking at the social environmental conditions that are really the truly cause of the kinds of problems related to diabetes and cardiovascular. So this REACH Centers of Excellence, REACH USA, is basically aimed at trying to see to what degree through community mobilization, coalition building, we could be instrumental in really impacting those environmental conditions. And therefore, that's basically some of our mandate. Now, the way in which we established the REACH seed, the partnership, as I mentioned before, is with the Chicago Department of Health, which already had a REACH 2010 in the first 5 years. And then the University of Illinois, under my leadership, we also had another REACH 2010, the first wave, if you want to call it, that was through the Chicago Southeast Diabetes Community Action Coalition. And so what we did with this partnership, and there was actually another third one that was addressing a cancer-related condition. What we did was to bring two of those earlier REACH 2010 in Chicago in this umbrella kind of setting in establishing the CUSA in this area. And then obviously working in this case, we were lucky to get then Dr. Cynthia Boyd, who was already providing leadership to the REACH 2010 under the Chicago Department of Public Health, to be part of this effort. Now, in general, the way I'm going to be starting explaining a little bit is how we start engaging in the process of engaging partners and focusing on an agenda. And so what we started doing was, first of all, engaging in community engagement and partnership building. And then from there, moving into system thinking. System thinking is a CDC kind of framework where you basically want to have a multi-sectorial partnership and where each partner try to identify their unique contribution in a healthy community. And so that from that system thinking perspective, where we had a diversity of other partners representing not only health, but other non-traditional areas that are not usually involved in health-related or health disparity discussion, then the community action plan was developed. And then from that community action plan, we are in the implementation. The disparity reduction strategy, in addition to being cultural, linguistic, competent, is basically impacting policy in the area of lifestyle, particularly looking at food equity, and then health literacy, and then looking at other system change through the training and technical support that is provided through our coalition member by engaging in policy analysis and development, and then obviously engaging in cultural competency efforts. And unfortunately, because of the limited time, we won't be able to tell you all the many wonderful things that are taking place. So we're going to be only highlighting some selected aspect of the work that is currently being done. It's important to understand that when we talk about policy and system change, we're talking about changes that could occur the community level in terms of changing community norms. Think about tobacco control. Think about some of the policies in terms of impacting tobacco use in public places. So it's changing community norms that would lead to changes in social practices and lifestyle, changes at the level of the organization, and then regulatory policies and legislative policy, which is the one about laws passed at the local, state, and federal level. The way in which we started all this is doing through some kind of environmental scan in this slide, where it's building the coalition, the first block, and all the aspect that has to do with group dynamic, creating cohesiveness and trust. And then from there, moving into developing an inventory of need of asset about the issues that we want to address and how we're going to do that and who are the key players and what are the resources available and how can we position ourselves to minimize what is usually happening, the politics that may occur in our community when you are the new kid in the block and people think that maybe you're getting to the turf. And then from there, beginning the whole process of looking at information, synthesizing that information, and then through the coalition meetings, trying to make sure that there's a consensus building and consensus statement that will lead to the policy agenda. And the evaluation framework that we are following, and for which Dr. Boyd also provide leadership, is looking at social network analysis, how we came together and how we have been able to be successful in forming this coalition, that when you go to a community meeting, you have more than 15 and 20 people, 25 sometime, there, and in addition to other meetings and other coalition meetings. So the level of commitment, enthusiasm, and energy is just tremendous. So we're looking at that. We're looking at coalition effectiveness through a diversity of, you know, avenue. We're looking at organizational capacity of our partners, including cultural competency, to what degree they, you know, what assistance we could provide there. Evaluating the many trainings and technical support that we are providing, and then looking at the impact of the coalition activity on the actual community. There's the National Opinion Research Center that are doing evaluation in the in target community to see to what degree what we are doing at the policy and community level is really trickling down, and then obviously looking at the effectiveness in the implementation of the community action plan. One thing that I forgot to mention, and probably Sheila would do so, is the fact that one of our mandate is information dissemination of best practices. And so the grants call for us providing funding to organization, to community-based organization, grassroots, to do what we call legacy project. And in that process, we're trying to identify who are doing innovative things in the community, because not everything is really, you know, informed through a publication or professional journal. So those organizations are given additional funding so they could be able to do what they're doing well with a strong evaluation component, and with the additional technical support, be able to see if we could identify new practices that we could then be able to transfer to other communities and be able to eventually publish as well. So in terms of our accomplishment, very briefly, I'm looking at my time to make sure that we have built this multi-sectorial coalition, and then we have a very active committees that Sheila is going to talk to us, so you may want to get closer. So this is the multi-sectorial partnership. It's really included a number of key actors that traditionally are not involved in discussion of related issues related to health, from faith-based community to grassroots organization to food policy groups to our urban agriculture organizations, school, I mean, you name it. And then you have a number of other initiatives that some of the action community working with us is also doing, addressing housing, energy, healthcare, job, economic growth, etc. So why don't you go ahead and Sheila, do the part that she is a lot more involved on a day-to-day basis, so I thought she would be able to
okay.
do it better.
Thank you. Dr. Gichel asked me to talk a little bit about our committees, and I just want to give you really a quick brief background on it. When the coalition met before and started laying the groundwork, they identified three social determinants of health we had to work toward, we really needed to work to solve problems within economics, environment, and education. All of them are sort of big. And so after more discussion, we came down to two primary areas. One of them was increasing the equitable distribution of healthy food in the Latino and African American communities. And the second one was to increase health literacy in these communities, again, Latino and African American communities. The equitable distribution of health in order to really identify the work we had to do, a committee came together, and that committee identified narrower areas under the food equity umbrella, and that was to promote the local production of food, and secondly, to increase the data that's available to policymakers and researchers and community organizations so that they can take action to improve the amount of food that's available, healthy food available in various communities. This slide talks a little bit about the kind of work that we've been doing. We did urban agriculture tours of Chicago and the nearby suburbs in order to give policymakers, decision makers, funders, and others, journalists, etc., some idea of what's already happening to promote the local production of food. We worked with the Chicago Department of Health to add questions to their existing survey of the food sanitarians. They go out and they check out the stores, and now we're collecting data about how much produce and how much produce is being sold in those stores and whether or not those stores are selling raw meat. That's a marker for us in terms of the size of the stores. Because Chicago, like many other stores or cities in the country, don't know what food is being sold in their communities. And so this is one way for us to figure that out. We're also trying to set up standards across Illinois. We've already talked to several people from the region, the Chicago metropolitan region, about including questions like these on their inspection forms. Again, what we're trying to do is collect that data. The Illinois General Assembly passed a bill last year to put $10 million in the budget for that is similar to the Food Trust in Pennsylvania. In Illinois, it's the Fresh Food Fund. What we want is data that will allow decision makers to know what communities they need to put that money in. And also, it's an evaluation to tell us later whether or not it's been useful. It's the altitude. We're working with the American Planning Association to set up a technical assistance workshop for urban local farmers and for planners throughout the Chicago Metropolitan Statistical Region, because what we're finding is that the regulatory regulations within the towns are really preventing the local production of food. And what we're trying to do is change the policy so that more food can be grown locally. This is a very brief summary of what we're doing in terms of health literacy. We want to make sure that people in the community get information about healthy eating and physical activity. To do that, we are working to develop curriculum for community health workers, specifically on healthy eating and physical activity. One is in process. And then secondly, that is going to provide the information, but if we don't have enough community health workers to get the word out, it's not going to do us as much good as it could. So we're working to develop presentations and educational sessions for doctors and hospital administrators to get that, you know, to increase the number of community health workers available. And finally, we want to build an alliance of organizations that employ and train community health workers to work with our local network of community health workers to take on not just training issues, but policy issues in the future. And finally, this is an example of our legacy projects, as Dr. Giacello mentioned. We have 6 complete, 3 are currently running, and the RFP for 4 more legacy projects are underway. So,
Ada. This one, I just wanted to highlight this one. This is money given to the Puerto Rican Cultural Center, and this particular project is part of an alternative high school, and what they're doing is really to help the kids to develop the understanding about food issues and food production, and in this case, how this could also lead to job training opportunity for the students and provide mentorship for higher education. Those are students that are traditionally were dropped out, and they're learning about science and math, and they're using this whole aspect about agricultural related product and developing community garden as one way of doing so. So we are very excited with this, and this is basically a model. So in conclusion, there is really a sense of urgency to address the social determinants of health. And this has to be done through community mobilization and action. What we're trying to do is to really empower community, empower leaders, get them excited, get them to realize that things can be changed for the better if they all come together, and if we are able to bring a diversity of other key players that really have a lot to say in this process. So the C at Chicago is a model of empowerment or grassroots community organization working together with academic institutions and other key sector to address health and social disparity among African American and Latino. Thank you very much.